A scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 14, verse 1. If you'd like to turn with me there, say amen when you have it. Romans 14, 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things.
Don't be afraid of the laptop. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Father in heaven, this morning, we want to get a good look at your heart. In you is beauty, courage, and hope, confidence. I want to thank you for your work of saving us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll forgive me. This is not going to be polished, but it's going to be good. I want to tell a little parable again. Again, as in you've heard it, but you haven't heard it this way. There was a man who was out plowing a field one day that he had leased. My own voice makes me nervous. He had leased this field and he was out plowing. And I am told that when a horse pulls the plow into some object, that unlike a tractor, the horse will stop. And then the farmer can do what it takes to get past this thing. And that day when the plow bottom hit this thing and it stopped and the horse stopped, he noticed it didn't sound like the rest of the rocks in the field. And after some digging around, he discovered he had found buried treasure. It was somebody's retirement that they put away for safekeeping, and somebody was long gone. And this guy found the treasure. Of course, he's no idiot, so he fills in the hole. He runs home and he tells his wife, "Sell everything we have. We're gonna do something, but I can't tell you. We're gonna sell everything." And together they sell everything and they buy the field, and now they have this treasure. Well, you've heard that much of the story so far, but I want to tell you that in that field were more treasures. And each day when this guy pulled his plow through that field, the horse got to know the routine. The guy would stop, pull out another treasure. This guy became unbelievably wealthy. So what's the field? It's that book you have generally inside of black covers, and what's the treasure? It's everything in between those two covers. And as you open your Bible each morning, or each afternoon, or each evening, or lunch breaks, or whenever it is you pull your Bible out to read each day, you'll bump into some treasure, and it won't take long, and you'll be unbelievably wealthy. Well, today's treasure is found in Romans 14. So, since I have way more time than I wanted, just pull out your Bible to Romans 14, because this is going to be a treasure hunt. A friend of mine came to my house one day when we were living on Pamela. You remember my little house over there in town? I like that house. And he knocks on the door and he said, among other things, he said, I've got this friend at work and I'm trying to kind of share with him from the Bible some texts that talk about health. And just for fun, have any of you just about had it with health topics lately? Okay. Well, you don't have to worry about this one because it's not a health talk. And he said, I'd like to find some texts on this that I can share with him, but I was reading in Romans 14 and it just doesn't seem to be to have any good proof texts. It's not real solid. And I says, well, interesting. I'm reading in Romans now and it's going to be a few days and I'll be there and I'll see what I find and see what I... And maybe I can, you know, share something with you. Probably not, since he'd already read it. Romans 14. Now, if you're wondering what the final word on differences is, back to the title for a second. My friend was looking for kind of a final word on diet. And he was looking to this chapter for a final word. You know, something you could just say, look at that. But we're going to find it's a final word, but it's not on diet. All right. Verse 1. You're going to see me flipping a lot. That's what Alt-Tab was invented for, right? Okay. So as we read this chapter today, we're going to be plowing. And as you read it, ask yourself, what does it say? In a sense, I want you to just kind of forget what you've heard before. Not that you totally forget it, but just kind of set it aside. And just look at the words in front of you to see what they say. It's a great, really fun way to read in the morning. Okay, so we're going to start in with verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, him that's weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats vegetables. I love that part. Let not him who eats despise him that eats not, and let not him who eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who are you that you judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. What was the point of this? Okay, this could be sharing time. What was the point? What did you see? Not to judge. Who, the guy who eats or the guy who doesn't eat? Oh, both. Do we have here a differing of opinions? Sure we do. Do we have a proof text on diet? No way. We don't even know what the food is that they're talking about. I mean, we might be able to guess, but we don't know. It's not explicit. Let's go on to verses 5 and 6. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day, regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day, to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he that eats not, to the Lord, he eats not, and gives God thanks. What do you see here? What day is it that he's talking about? Anybody brave? I was one brave soul, Jan. What day is he talking about? We don't know. It just says a day. That's how I see it. Not trying to read more into it than I'm seeing. It just says one day. And I'm thinking, what do we have here? A differing of opinion? Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the specifics are. We just know that for some reason that day in Paul's time, there was probably some hot topic about some day that some people thought was a big deal and some people didn't. And Paul probably didn't want to get into the thick of that debate, but what he's trying to do is jog their memory enough to say, hey, you know that day we've been fighting about? Okay, well, some of you regard it to the Lord, some of you don't regard it, and it's because of the Lord. Okay, so I was telling Carol last night as I was kind of spilling over in my enthusiasm about this little talk this morning, I said, I'm afraid this is going to get too intellectual and not really fun to hear. So I have a story for you. I was in Cameroon. This was the first time I'd gone to Africa. I was away for 3 months, and it was called Meeting Cultures. Meeting Cultures. I met some wonderful people. Not long after going to Cameroon, some friends of mine, Philip and Felicia, met me down at Charles' house. And I know you don't know these people, but at least you have a name, right? So Philip and Felicia took me up to by bus to their town, ironically named Santa. Santa, Cameroon. It's at 5,000 feet. It's in the mountains. It's cold up there. And, of course, they don't have heat. But those big, thick-walled mud brick homes with the plaster on them stay pretty warm long into the night. But come morning, they stay pretty cool. It was Christmas. It was Christmas, and Felicia had taken me by bus and then taxi all the way up to the little town of Lassen. Those of you who followed Carol and me know that we lived in Lassen. And I was in Lassen on Christmas Day. Well, there was no mention of Merry Christmas. There was no Christmas anything. And I learned that in Africa, Adventists view Christmas as a time for destroying the family budget, putting down more alcohol than you can handle, doing immoral things. And so as conferences, they just decided that they will have nothing to do with Christmas. So you can imagine how I feel when I come back to the States the next Christmas, right? Here I see all the stuff and I'm thinking, okay, in America we think Christmas, aw, the baby, isn't it sweet, the shepherds, the angels, and we make a big deal over it. But you know what? In Africa, they don't keep the day because they're not keeping it because of God. In America, we keep the day and we keep it because of God. It's interesting. It's opposite, but it's similar. And I think this is kind of what Paul was saying when he says, some regard the day, regard it unto the Lord, and some that do not regard the day, regard it not unto the Lord. Each one. It's kind of interesting. Verses 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This definitely starts narrowing down. We're not talking about food, and we're not talking about days. We're talking about judging. Who's the judge? Let's go back for a little review, and I hope you don't think I'm just trying to kick the horse. It's down already. We've made our point, right? But let's just bear with me. Reviewing verses 1 through 10, look for harsh words, and you're going to find a couple in verse 3. Let me know when you find one. Verse 3, look for a harsh, just a really unkind word. Despise. condemn. I thought I saw one more in there. Judge. It's not such a bad thing to judge, but it depends on how you're judging. If you're saying, like, I'm right and you're wrong, and there you have it, on and on, that's bad. Yes. There you go. Verse 10, what do you see? Here comes judge again. Look at the next little phrase. Look down on. Mine's a little harsher. It says set at naught. I was thinking, that sounds like to me, you good for nothing. These are really hard words. But what groups are we talking about here? These two people, or these two groups, are in what camp altogether? They're in the church, right? They're in the church. In fact, how close are they in relationship? Brother Chris. Sister. Okay. This is family. In fact, going back to the first verse, these are the people that are in the faith. Some might be considered weak in the faith. Fine, whatever. They have a difference of opinion. But they're in the faith. These are family. Jesus said an interesting thing in Matthew 12:25. He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself cannot stand. And I think this is what Paul is trying to say. Look, guys, if we're going to survive, we have to be together. Good point. Good point. Okay. Now we're going to get to some really fun stuff. Look at verse 3, and we're going to see who's holding this family together. Verse 3. Look at the end of it. After you see this part about not judging somebody who eats, it says, God has received him. God has received him. This is a little time to hit, turn, you don't have it, but turn to Strong's, right? And, I'm sorry. Which hymn is it talking about? God has received him. Yes, both of them. It isn't specific. It's inclusive. God has received both of these people. Both of these people. And I looked up Strong's to see what the received part was, and it says to take to oneself or admit to friendship or hospitality. Okay, imagine God taking you. See, this is the cool part. No matter which side of the debate you think you might kind of lean toward, doesn't matter. God's talking to you, and he's saying he receives you, and he's receiving you to himself in friendship and hospitality. Does that sound good? Is that encouraging? Absolutely. What's that tell us about God's heart? What side of the debate is God on? He doesn't care, in a sense. What he cares about is you. He wants to receive you. Verse 4, what else is God doing? Look toward the end of the verse. God's holding someone up. Okay. He says, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he shall be held up. By who? by God. And I looked up the word held. I love this part. It says in Strong's that this word hold or holding up is a prolonged form of to stand. Now, if you're in love, what does that sound like? Get that silly grin off your face. It's a hug, right? It also, from Strong's, is to abide, to continue, covenant, establish, hold up. These are enduring terms. They last over time, to be standing up, to be supported. Okay? And just for fun, who's being held up? The eater and the non-eater. Everyone. Everyone. Yes, they're all being held up by their own strength? No, by God's. The eater, I don't know exactly how I thought of this, that this would go here, but here we go. The eater is despising, and the non-eater judges. The eater judges too, and their verdict is, you're despicable. And God says it's not your place to judge. To his own master he stands or falls, so our master is God. And God is the one, that master is God who makes us stand. And then he says, I'll do the judging. In fact, I'm going to judge the one that I'm holding up. And by the way, I can make him stand. So how do you think you're going to stand in the judgment? Judgment isn't quite so scary anymore, is it? Because God is at your side, defending you, staying with you, enduring, abiding, holding you up, and judging you. That's not so bad. Just for fun, just to get some air to your head, say amen. Amen. Okay. Then in verse 13, the judgment takes a twist. Look at that one. I'll be quiet for a second while you look for the twist in verse 13 of judgment. I can be just as quiet as you. Okay. I'll share the thought that I think I saw when my little plow bottom hit this treasure. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. So there is a judgment, right? That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So what's Paul saying? Don't judge your brother, judge yourself. The judgment is now turned inward. Be sure you don't mess somebody up. You better judge yourself. Be careful. Because our actions influence others too. When I do something, whether I say it or I just do it, I will influence somebody else. And we don't want to trip someone else up through misunderstandings. Verse 15. If your brother is saddened because of your food, Steve, you're not walking in love. Don't destroy him with your food for whom Christ died. And here's kind of the lesson I get out of this. Well, one of the lessons I am getting out of this. No matter how important the hot issue of the day may seem to you, no matter how correct your understanding may be, no matter how many guest speakers you can invite to support your position. To not jump all over, criticize, belittle, humiliate, or destroy your family member that Christ died for. To take a little turn of thoughts, there are actually, don't worry about me, don't let me scare you on this one, but there are actually correct understandings according to God. And doing right is still important. Verse 16, he says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." Okay? So that one of our bickering brothers was trying... I don't know, let's see if I can read this right. One of our bickering brothers was trying to represent the side of good. And maybe it was right. Only he sure made a mess of the way he handled somebody. But there was still something good. And verse 22 is an interesting one. "Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed." And my paraphrase is, you'll be happy if the thing you do doesn't bring condemnation on you. So there still are ways to get in trouble. But there are ways to handle it too. Here's an area that I think is just so much fun. Reviewing a little bit. Verse 3. Oh. Hang on a second. What we're going to notice here is the extent of this salvation project. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Look how involved they are, as seen in this chapter. Verse 3, God receives people. Verse 4, God judges those that he holds up. And God is able to make them stand. Verse 15. We're not destroying people with meat for whom Christ died for. God's holding us up. Jesus died for us. And then I think you'll enjoy this one. It just sounds so good. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. How do you get that? The Holy Spirit. Look at this. Which of the Godhead is working hardest here? They're all in it. They're all working so hard together to hold us up, to cover our sins, to give us righteousness, peace, joy. This is a big project. And they're all working for us. The little conclusion is, God has a way of resolving differences. First, while we were firmly opposed to him, he had a plan. From Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, from verse 4, while we're still bickering with our brother or sister in Christ, God holds us up and makes us stand. But God is moving us towards something better. And through the Holy Spirit, he brings us to righteousness, peace, and joy. So our benediction today. Yes, we will be held up, for God is able to make us stand. And from Jude 24 and 5, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Our dear Father in heaven, we love you. You are so good to us. You are so good to those who don't agree with us. You are guiding each of us home to you, and you have better things in store for us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your power, your ability. We pray that you will be with us each day as we plow in your word, as you give us treasure after treasure that we can share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.